The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Jacobowitz, Mechaber Sefer Gvul Rishonim on Erevin, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a daf, a peirik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Shavuos Daf Yud Daled. The Gemara on Shavuos Daf Yud Daled on the days discusses different shailas of different cases of carbon oil of the Yerid. The Gemara discusses different cases of somebody who's a Shegig and goes into the Beis Mikdash Betumah, and the Gemara has a question in different different cases whether he's chayiv a carbon for the Aver that he did. Vayir Birmiya, four lines into the wide lines, Birmiya has a shaila. Ben Bavel, someone from Bavel, from Chutz La'aretz, Sha'ol L'Eretz Yisrael, they came up to Eretz Yisrael, but Nel Mimen the Mokka Mikdash. He made a mistake, and he didn't realize where the Mokka Mikdash was, and he came into the Mokka Mikdash, but Tumah, he was Tomei, is he chayiv a carbon or not? Taisa explains that even though it's considered the idea, someone who should have asked, and he didn't ask, it's considered that he knew. Taisa says, Tarek L'Farish, you have to say, Tom Bez Manazah nowadays, after the Churban, that people aren't really asking where the Beis Mikdash was. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, people were careful, people knew where the Beis Mikdash was. Even someone who came Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, he would ask around, he would find out where the Beis Mikdash was. Nowadays, after the Churban, most people, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, are not asking where exactly is Mokka Mikdash, where the start and end, they should be careful not to go there Betumah. Mikamokam Noka Ben Bavel, still it's someone from Bavel, Vishbnei Eretz Yisrael, Gim Haka Yerzeh. People from Eretz Yisrael, they usually know where the Mokka Mikdash is, although it's after the Churban Beis Mikdash. But the fact are that people from Eretz Yisrael, they usually know where the Mokka Mikdash starts, where it ends. People from Chutz La'aretz who come, and it's already Bezman HaChurban, there's no Beis Mikdash now, it's not so common to ask, so they might be excused for not knowing where the Mokka Mikdash is, and that's where the Gemara is a shiloh, what the din is, the Gabi Tumas, the carbon of oil of Yerid, for coming to the Mokka Mikdash B'tumah. Now, in terms of coming to the Mokka Mikdash itself, we would say nowadays, on a practical basis, that we're all careful, everyone knows, people go to the Kaisel, they're careful not to go to the Mokka Mikdash itself. There's a shiloh about one touching the Kaisel, whether one can touch the Kaisel itself, or if he has to worry that he's already going into the Mokka Mikdash B'tumah. There's another halacha, which maybe people are a little bit less conscious of, that also applies when one comes to the Mokka Mikdash. There's a halacha, it appears, it's mentioned here today in Hilchos Avelos as well, but it's really, in Arachayim, Hilchos Tishbav is the first place that appears in Shulchan Aruch, and some tough Kuf Samach Aluf, the end of Hilchos Tishbav, right before Hilchos Tainis. The din of Aroya or Yehuda, someone who sees the cities of Yehuda, the Yishalayim, sees Yishalayim, the Mikdash and the base of Mikdash, Bechavonim, in the Matzah of Churban, after they were destroyed. The Mechaber says that somebody who sees Ari Yehuda Rechabonim, cities of Yehuda, that were around in times of Mikdash, and now they're destroyed. He says, Ari Kachach, are you Midbar? It's a Lashon of Tzar that a person says. The Kriya, he has to rip Kriya. When he gets close enough to them that he sees them very well, he has to rise Kriya, he has to rip his begonim, he has to rip his jacket, or his shirt, or whatever baggage he's wearing. He has to rise Kriya. Someone sees Yishlaim, it's Matzah of Churban. There's also a certain Lashon that he's supposed to say, and he rises Kriya. Someone sees the Mokka Mikdash, he says, Beis Kachenu, Vitvatenu, Asher Elucha, Vavasenu, that our fathers, our forefathers, Mahal, that praise Hashem, the Hoyle Strip of Asia, was burnt down, Koch Machadena, our treasures, Hoyle Lachor, were destroyed, the Korea, he has to rip Korea. Someone gets, or Yehuda, to Yerushalayim, Mokka Mikdash, the halachos of ripping Korea. And these halachos apply even nowadays. Now it's interesting to note that the Tshuva Nigger Smaisha, this is Arachayim Chelek Dalad, Simon Ayin, where Ramesha, the list of Shilohs, the list of Psalkim for Ramesha, the Ramesha wrote a whole different, many different topics, many different Shilohs that are sent to him. And one of them is, if someone has to rise Kriya today, when he sees Yerushalayim, Ramesha says, it's Arachayim Chelek Dalad, Simon Ayin, Ois Yudalov, Elu Anoisim Laretz Yisrael, those who travel to Eretz Yisrael, Mestaver, Sha'av Shaddai Lo Nagalim Avasinir Rab, even though Avasinir Rab, because there are many Averis, we're not yet Zeicha to the Gula, still he should not rise Kriya, he should not rip his clothing when he sees Yerushalayim. Since the Chesed Hashem, Baruch Hashem, right now is built up with the Pharis, and it looks very nice, and it's not in control of the Goyim, so even though it's not that we don't have the Geula yet, that's not in control of from a Yidden, but still, since it's not in the control of the Goyim, and since it's built up, he doesn't have to say the Nusach, which is said when it comes to Yishlaim and the Matzah of Churban, he doesn't have to rip Kriya. The only time he'd have to rip Kriya when it comes to the Mokka Mikdash. He comes to the Mokka Mikdash, even if he sees him far away. And Kavachemer, someone goes all the way to the Kaisel, someone comes to the Kaisel, he certainly has to say, he should say the Lashon, that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and he certainly has to rip Kriya, he has to rip his begotim, rip his garments. The Ramesh says, if someone sees Ari Yehuda, which are in control of the Goyim, or if there's a part of Yishlaim that's still in the control of the Goyim, even if it's built up well, it's still up to rise Kriya. If it's built up well, and it's in the control of Yidden, even if it's not the way it should be, but it's not in the control of Goyim, it doesn't have to rise Kriya. Therefore, much says on a practical basis, halach l'maisa, one does not have to rise kriya nowadays when he comes to Yerushalayim. However, when one comes to the Malkum Mikdash, there he does have to rise kriya, he does have to rip his begonim. And many people, some people are not aware of this halacha b'chlam, even those who are aware of this halacha, many people try to find a way to get out of this halacha, they don't want to rip the begonim, whatever it is, they try to find a way to drain out of this halacha, they shouldn't have to rise kriya. So one known heter, so to speak, that people talk about, is that when one comes to the Kosel, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, so then, he doesn't have to rip kriya, since Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, at such a time, he doesn't have to rip his begonim. So this Ramesh talks about in a different tshuva, and Ramesh does not like this heter at all. Disappears in your Deya Chil Gimel, Simen Nun Beis, Ois Dalad. Simen Nun Beis, Ois Dalad. Ramesh says the Dvar Kriya, by ripping clothing, Shiroi Mokka Mikdash, when someone sees the Mokka Mikdash, it's Ranein in our times, Shedayin Huba Chabon and Bavanein, because of our Averis is still in the status of Chorban, every time Ramesh mentions it, because of our Averis, the Tzorach Lekroya, Allah says he has to rise to the Kriya, rip his begonim, any of the Ish Makar, Ramesh says doesn't know any Makar, Shabbat Erev Shabbos Kadish, Shabbat Erev Shabbos, Shabbat Erev Shabbos, even after Chathos, but Yikra is not to rip his clothing. L'chari has to rise kriya. Ramesh doesn't understand where this comes from, that people say the Erev Shabbos after Chathos, you don't have to rip your clothing. Ramesh says the only thing he can understand is that maybe the person already got dressed for Shabbos, it's Friday afternoon, and he already got dressed for Shabbos, he doesn't have any other clothing to change into for Shabbos, which might be, you know, a pretty common thing. Someone goes there to throw for a short amount of time. He doesn't have another suit on him, doesn't have another Shabbos suit on him, or maybe he doesn't have other clothing on him altogether. And now it's Erev Shabbos after the Chatzos, there's no time right now to go buy or to pick up or to come up with something else to wear for Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says that covered Shabbos and covered the Brios, they shouldn't be stuck with the ripped clothing on Shabbos. That's the stronger, and therefore he wouldn't have to rip his begotten. But other than that, if the person has the opportunity and the option still of changing into different clothing for Shabbos, Moshe doesn't understand any reason why one would have to rip his clothing to rise kriya if he goes to the kesto or sees the Malkum Mikdash Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. But Moshe says if there's a minute kavua bar, it's clear that there's a definite minute not to rise kriya Erev Shabbos after Chatzos on the Malkum Mikdash, then the person should not change from the minute and he should not rise kriya, even though we don't know the reason for this. Very much discuss something else. Let's just someone goes to the kesto on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos and he has such a patur, whether he knows that there is such a minute that you don't have to rip your clothing when you come Erev Shabbos after Chatzos to the kesto. Or let's say, like a much example, he has something else to change into, the covered Shabbos, so it'll be a turn in covered Shabbos, and it'll be a design for him if he has to wear ripped clothing on Shabbos. So let's say he has a patur from ripping his clothing on Shabbos. Let's say he goes to the kesto on Shabbos itself, so certainly on Shabbos the only one that's not rise kriya. And then he goes back to the kesto again next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, goes back to the kesto again. Do we say he has a patur for ripping kriya, because he was already there once, in the past 30 days, the halacha is that somebody who goes to the kesto and he rises kriya, then he comes back again, it was less than 30 days later, he does not have to rise kriya again. It's considered like an old thing, it's not considered like a new thing that he has the tzar again, it's considered old. Only if more than 30 days elapses between one visit to the kesto and the next, then he has to rise kriya the next time he goes again. However, it's less than 30 days, he does not have to rip kriya again. And Mr. Brewer, Tavka Samachalo, from the end of the siman, brings from the Magen Avraham, in Sivkan Yudzayin, he brings from the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah of Yerushalayim, someone was born in Yerushalayim, so he never raised kriya, he grew up in Yerushalayim. Now he became a Golo, he became Bar Mitzvah. He doesn't have to raise kriya, he does not have to rip his clothing. Since when he was a cotton, he was potter. Now that he became a Golo, he doesn't have to raise kriya either, because less than 30 days from the last time he saw it, he's in Yerushalayim the whole time, he never left Yerushalayim, he's living in Yerushalayim. So he doesn't have to raise kriya. So Moshe says that maybe one would think it's the same thing. Same way someone who grew up in Yerushalayim, when he was a cotton, he was potter from ripping his clothing, because he was a cotton. Now that he became a Golo, he's here the last 30 days. He doesn't have to rip kriya, because it's not a new thing for him. So maybe one would say it's the same thing. He was by the kesto in the past 30 days. He was there, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, and he had a patur. Or he was there, Shabbos and Yom Tov, he had a patur for ripping his clothing. Now he goes back the next week, goes back on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever he goes back, maybe he should have a patur, because he was here in the past 30 days. Ramesh doesn't have with this at all. Ramesh says, and it's not sushtel, it's not a comparison at all to someone who grew up in Yerushalayim. And he says that, since the Magen Avraham only says about a case of someone who's born in Yerushalayim, Bar is posh that he holds someone who comes to Yerushalayim, who's Mokhliv to rise Kriya when he sees the Mokhliv Mikdash, just was on Shabbos, he couldn't rise Kriya, he had a Patur then, it was also to rise Kriya. That's not a real Patur, it's not a long-term Patur. And therefore, if he comes back a few days later, Tzarach Lekray, he has to rise Kriya. And the Ramesh is very strong about it. Even if people say that it's some sort of a minig not to rise Kriya, if you were there on Shabbos, or you were there on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos in the past 30 days, it's a toy, it's a mistake. If it ain't a minig, it's not a minig. Even if the truth is, people are annoyed like that. So coming Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, so Moshe sees no reason why it should be a patur, unless it's going to be a question of covered Shabbos and covered Brios. But he says, if there's a clear minute not to rise kriya by the place of Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, you can be samech on a minute you don't have to rise kriya. But if you come back next week, even people tell you there's a minute not to rise kriya now, because you're already there once on Shabbos, you're already there once on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, this Moshe says is a mistake. There's no tzad to uphold, there's no way to uphold this minute, and a person has to rise kriya the next time. So the whole going on Shabbos, going on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, besides that the Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, the weak hatcher to begin with, but even if it is a hatcher to begin with, one goes back another time, we'll certainly have to rise kriya then. So the appropriate thing is one who goes to the Kaisel, he should rip the animal's bag, he should rip his jacket, rip his shirt, and if he goes to Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, he should not look for Baturim, he should rise kriya, he should have something else prepared, a different bag, a different suit, a different shirt that he can wear to cover Shabbos, they should be able to do it. If he goes on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he can't rip his clothing then, if he goes back another time after Shabbos, he'll rise kriya when he goes back. The right way to rise kriya is with the person's hand, not do it with a razor or a knife. If a person has a hard time getting the rip started, he can use a knife or a scissor or a razor to get the rip started, but after that he has to do kriya with his hand. He does on the left side of the garment, the left side over his heart. He should rip it a tefach long, just like all the regular halachas, milks and villas, of how a person writes his kriya. Now there is one case where Moshe is maskim, that halach won't have a patur. The halach is that one only writes his kriya when he comes to Yishmaim, if he sees him in that seifim losmin, from seifim menin. And the question is, what does seifim mean? So there's different shittas. Mr. Burbin, some shittas say that seifim is a certain place, away from Yishmaim. Others shittas say that seifim is the way of saying that anywhere that he can see Yishmaim from there, he has to write his kriya. Here Moshe goes to halach with a shitta, brought down from Teis Yamtif, that the Tehillah brings some others, that it's a Tehillah in a certain place, a half an hour's walk away from Yishalayim. And Ramesh says that even though from farther away than that, more than half an hour away, to talk about certain directions from certain angles, a person would be able to see Yishalayim, but he can't see it as well. Since he doesn't see it as well, he doesn't have the full-fledged star. Since he doesn't have the full-fledged star, so Mela, he doesn't rise clear then. Now what would happen if a person would see Yishalayim from more than half an hour's walk away from a distance, so he has a view, but now it's a good view of it, so he doesn't rise kriya. And then instead of continuing closer and coming all the way to Yishlayim, where the halach is, that once he reaches that distance of Tzoyfim Lufnim, once he gets close enough that he has a better view, then he rises kriya. Let's say, instead of doing that, he goes away and he doesn't come any closer to Yishlayim. Then a few days later, within 30 days, he comes back and he goes all the way up to Yishlayim. So, Ramesh says that in this case, the halach is he's potter from rising kriya. Well, because he already saw once, although he didn't see it well enough, that he should have the tzar, that would mechayiv him to rip his clothing to rise kriya over the korban of Yishalayim, but since he already had a certain amount of the tzar, a little bit of it he had, so when he comes all the way up to Yishalayim the next time within 30 days, he doesn't have full-fledged tzar then either, because a little bit of the tzar he already had. The seeing Yishalayim from a distance is enough, that on the one hand he's not going to rise kriya then, but on the other hand when he comes back all the way up to Yishalayim within 30 days, he's not going to rise kriya then either, because he had a certain element of tzar already, and it's not a new thing for him when he comes to Yishalayim now. Ramesh says it's similar to the fact that there's a machlekes, halacha is that someone sees a close friend that he hasn't seen for the past 30 days, he can make shachiyonah, make a bracha shachiyonah. Generally, the minhag nowadays is not to make this brachas, but there are such issues in the Shulchan Aruch, this halacha, that if one sees a close friend who he hasn't seen in more than 30 days, he makes shachiyonah. What if he got a letter from his friend within the past 30 days? So certainly when he got the letter from his friend, he doesn't make any bracha, he don't make a shachiyonah if he got a letter from your friend who you haven't seen in the past 30 days. However, if he did get a letter from his friend within the past 30 days, so then when he sees them later on, it's a machlekes, and there are some shittas to say that you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha shachiyonah now. Why? Because since he got a letter from his friend within the past 30 days, the simcha of meeting his friend now is not as much. Although getting the letter itself is not enough to make a bracha, make a shachiyonah, or getting a letter from his close friend, but it gives him enough of a simcha, and it's enough of his consciousness in his relationship with his friend that when he sees them later on, it's not as exciting, because some of the excitement was already used up when he got the letter from him. So it's not as much of a chiddush when he sees him in person. So he doesn't make the bracha now when he gets the letter, now when he sees him in person. This halacha, it's a machlokes, whether getting the letter tatters him from making the shachiyonu, or eliminates the possibility of making the shachiyonu when he sees him later on. Ramesh is using this as a mashal. But the same thing, once he sees Yishlayim from a distance, more than half an hour walk away, he doesn't rip his clothing then. Then later on, if a different time, if he continues walking all the way until he gets close to Yishlayim, so that's all one going, and then he rips his clothing when he gets close enough. Let's say he doesn't go any closer, and then a different day, within 30 days, he goes all the way up to Yishlayim. So then, he doesn't rise kriya, he doesn't rip his clothing. And the same would be, this is with Yishlayim. We already said there are many shows Yishlayim nowadays, one doesn't rise kriya because it's built up and it's in Jewish control. But the same would apply to the Beis Mikdash, where everyone agrees, or Moshe himself says, that one sees the Makom Mikdash from the Kaisel or from somewhere else, you can see it from Har Zeisim, from other places, one does rise kriya. Let's say one saw the Makom Mikdash from a distance, not close enough, so they have a dinner and a slave from them, they would have to rise kriya. He saw from a distance, not such a good view. And then he went away, he didn't go all the way up to the Makom Mikdash. He didn't go to the Kaisel. Then a few days later, within 30 days, he comes back, goes all the way to the Kaisel, all the way to the Makom Mikdash. Ramesh says, in such a case, you don't rise kriya, you don't rip your clothing. Because the tzar, some of the tzar you already had when you saw the Makom Mikdash from a distance. Not enough to rip your clothing then, but enough that when you come all the way up to the Makom Mikdash on a different day, you don't have such a full-fledged tzar either, because some of the tzar already got eased up the other day, the first time around. So you don't rip your clothing not the first time, and not the second time. So according to Ramesh, this will be a legitimate patur for one rising kriya when he comes to the Kaisel. However, the Rashi on it, and it's clear, Ramesh feels this way, and generally, all Gnil Yisrael feel this way, is that one should not look for patur and excuses to avoid ripping kriya over the Mitzvah Mikdash, that a person should rise kriya, should rip a beged over it, a person could wear an old beged that day, the old clothing, an old suit when he goes to the Makom Mikdash the first time in 30 days, and when he comes to the Makom Mikdash, he should feel the tzar, and he should rip kriya in a way that's kosher ripping of kriya with his hands on the left side, the tefach long, and he should wear the beged, and he should feel the tzar, but we don't have the Mitzvah Mikdash. And from his Abba problem and feel the Sabbath of Chumis Mikdash, they will be able to fix up the Averis. I've been saying that there are many folks about the cause of the Chumis Mikdash, the cause of the continued Bichavana, and that is the Shalom B'Zaycha B'Yameinu to be a Mashiach B'Karav.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for Halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.